joined. Has joined. Has joined. Has joined.
Shavua Tov, good morning.
Shavua Tov, good morning.
Shavua Tov.
We will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, good job, Rishui. Utkilu Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu Urchimu, Liata, Lashem, Yudhe Babate, the Yehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Vayahino Amadonai Elohinu, Elena Maseya Deno Kunene, Elena Maseya Deno Kunenehu. Today we study the first Aliyah, which is from Leviticus chapter 21, verse 1, and completes at verse 15. This is a total of 15 verses. The number 15 connects to the name Yah, Yud-Heh, representing the upper worlds, representing Chachma and Bina in unity. Vayomer Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Dawanu He Yo El Moshe Emor El Hakohani B'nei Acharon We Amarta Alechem L'nefesh Lo Ta'itama Ve'amakim lishero ha'karo elav le'imo ulaviv ve'livno uvito ulachiv ve'lachachoto ha'betula ha'chrova elav asher lo haita Leish la yitama, lo yitama, ba'al be'amav, leheichalo. Lo yikre'u. If you look at the Hebrew, which is sounds different than it's written. It actually doesn't sound that different. But it's written with a hey at the end of the word, whereas it's a vav at the end of the word, which is used as a vowel. So we are connecting vav and hey to the number 15 of the yud hey. I'm continuing to read. Karcha birosham ufatzekanam lo yigalehu vivsaram lo yisratu saratem saratet kidoshim yihiyu leilohem velo yichalelu Shem Eloheihem ki et ishe Adonai Yohe wahe Adanu yo Yohe dawanu heyo Lechem Eloheihem Heim machrivim v'chayu kodesh Isha zona v'achalala Lo yikachu ve'isha gerusha me'isha Lo yikachu ki kadosh u le'lohav Ve'kidashto ki et lechem elohecha u'machriv kadosh Yihielach ki kadosh ani Adonai Yohe wahe Adanu yo Yohe dawanu heyo Mekadishtchem uvat ish kohen ki techel is not eravi hahi behalelet Ba'esh Yisarev V'ha'kohen ha'gadol Me'er Asher Yutzach, Al Rosho, Shemin Hamishcha, Umile et Yado, Lil Bosh, Et Habegadim, Et Rosho, Lo Yifra Ugadav, Lo Yifros Rom, We all call Nafshot, Met Lo Yavo Le Aviv, Lo Limo, Lo Yitama, Umin Hamikdash, Lo Yetse, Willo Yachalel, Et Mikdash Elohav, Kinezer Shemen, Mishkat Elohav, Alavani Adonai, Yo Hewahe Adanuyo, Yo Aheda Wanuheyo, Wilhu Isha Bivtuleha Yikak, Almana Gugrusha Bachalala, Zona et Ele, Lo Yikak. Im betula me amal vikafisha willo yechalel zaro me amal ki ani adonai yo hewahe adanu yo yo ahe dawanu heyo mekadsho. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. And the English translation begins now. Chapter 21, verse 1. And Hashem said to Moses, speak to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, let none defile himself for a dead person among his people, except for his relative who is close to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, his brother, and for his virgin sister who is close to him, who was not with a man for her, he shall defile himself. A husband shall not defile himself for his desecration while among his people. Now I'm going to read it with the additional assumptions or suggestions as to the meaning. Verse 4, but a husband shall not defile himself for a wife who causes his desecration while she is among his people. They shall not make bald patches on their heads, nor shall they shave the edges of their beard, nor shall they make cuts in their flesh. One question we can ask about this verse, does it apply only to the Kohanim, or does this verse apply to everyone? They shall be holy to their Hashem, and they shall not desecrate Hashem's name, for they offer up the fire offerings of Hashem, the food offering of Hashem, so they shall be holy. They shall not marry a woman who is a prostitute or who is desecrated, and they shall not marry a woman who is divorced from her husband, for he is holy to his God, to Hashem, his Hashem. You shall sanctify him, for he offers up the food offerings of Hashem. He shall be holy to you, for I, Hashem, who sanctifies you, am holy. If a Kohen's daughter becomes desecrated through adultery, she desecrates her father. She shall be burned in fire. And the Kohen who is elevated above his brothers, upon whose head the anointment oil has been poured, or who has been inaugurated to wear the garments, he shall not leave his hair unshorn, or rend his garments. And he shall not come upon any dead bodies. He shall not defile himself for his father or his mother. He shall not leave the sanctuary, and he will not desecrate the holy things of Hashem, for the crown of Hashem's anointing oil is upon him. I am Hashem. He shall marry a woman in her virgin state, a widow, a divorcee, a woman who is desecrated, or a prostitute. He shall not marry. Of these, only a virgin of his people may he take as a wife. And he shall not desecrate his offspring among his people. For I am Hashem, who sanctifies him. That's the completion of the English translation. These are halachot that relate to the Kohanim. But as I ask the question, to what degree do they apply to others? Because the children of Israel are to be priests to the world. The way the rabbis have interpreted it, it clearly applies only to the Kohanim. Are there any questions? We're now going to read the Perkei Avot for chapter 5, which relates to the fifth week of the counting of the Omer. We're starting with paragraph 1. Ba'atara ma'amarot nivra ha'olam u'matamud lomar v'chalot ma'amar echad yakol echibarot ela lehipara min harshaim shem abedin et ha'olam shenivra va'asara ma'amarot v'liten sakarto la'tzadikim shem ka'emin et ha'olam shenivra va'asara ma'amarot. With 10 utterances, the world was created. And what does this teach? For surely it could have been created with one utterance. But this was so in order to punish the wicked who destroy the world that was created with 10 utterances, and to give a good reward to the righteous who maintain the world that was created with 10 utterances. We don't know who is making this teaching. We don't have a name. It's just describing the concept that we question. Why was the world created with 10 utterances? There's 10 in the first chapter of Genesis. Talking about the creation of the world, there are 10 times the word Elohim is used. There are 10 utterances in the 10 Esser Dibrot, what most of the world calls commandments, but we have been taught through the Kabbalah that that's not correct. They're not commandments. They are statements. But the question that's being asked is, why didn't Hashem create it with one utterance? And it's saying, essentially, that this world is a world of separation. That it was created with 10 because one would have created a world of unity. And if there was unity, then the mistakes that people make, which we call sins, would have applied to everyone because we would have accepted the unity of the negative people as well as the positive people. But because it was created as a world of separation, created by the 10 utterances, one after the other, one causing the other, representing of the Sephirot, where the higher ones are a cause for the lower one, which are the effect, and then that effect becomes a cause for the next lower one. And this process creates a world that is separated, where I perceive you not as part of me, but as separate from me. And you perceive me as separate from you. And we strive to bring unity within our families as a first step. We marry a woman or marry a man, and we bring together and create unity of love between that couple, and through that unity of that couple, they bring children. Are the children separate from the parents? The answer is not initially. They're all unified. The mother, the father needs to care for the child until the child is old enough to care for itself, whatever age we determine that to be in the society that we live. There are separation and there is unity. And that is the paradox of the Sephirot. There's 10 Sephirot, but there's only one Hashem. The 10 Sephirot are unified and separated depending on our perceptions. And this is giving us an explanation for why that is. Why are things unified? Because Hashem is one. Why are things separated? Because Hashem chose to create with 10 Sephirot. Hashem chose to create with 4 phases, 4 steps of creation, which is essentially the understanding of the Partsufim, which are 5 Partsufim. But in reality, there's Abba, Ima, Zeranpin, and Malchut, or Nukva. These are the names of the Partsufim. Yes, there is a higher Partsuf called Adam Kadmon. But we don't really talk about Adam Kadmon because it represents the totality of unity in a world of separation. Are there any questions, or I will go on to the second paragraph? Asara dorot me adam v'yad noach sehodiyah kama erech apayim lefanav shekol hadorot hayu machbisin. Uvain ad shechem heviyahu alehem et mei hamabul asara dorot minoah v'yad Avraham v'hodeiyah kama erech apayim lefanav shekel hadorot hayu makisin uva'in ad shabah sheba Abraham v'ki belalav sehar kulam. 10 generations from Adam to Noah, in order to make known what long suffering is his, for all those generations kept on provoking him, until he brought upon them the waters of the flood. 10 generations from Noah to Abraham, in order to make known what long suffering is his, for all those generations kept on provoking him, until Abraham came and received the reward of all of them. Again, we don't have a name that is describing to us what this sentence, what this paragraph is teaching us. But it's teaching us Hashem is long-suffering, one of the 13 attributes of mercy. He's waited essentially 1,600 years until the flood, allowing people to sin and add mistake upon mistake upon mistake until they had to be cleansed totally from the world. Then there are 10 generations representing generations from Noah to Abraham. But Hashem is withholding all of the rewards. We don't talk in terms of punishment and reward. We talk in terms of cause and effect in the Kabbalah. But every action that people were doing, if it had been positive, they would receive a positive effect. But they received a negative effect. What happened to the positive effect? What we're being taught in this paragraph, that all of those positive effects were transferred to Abraham. And from Abraham to Isaac, and from Isaac to Jacob, and from Jacob to the 12 tribes, essentially all of the positive rewards, positive effects of positive actions are waiting for the children of Israel to do positive effects, to do positive actions. That's the teaching here. Do you have a slight sense of what is involved in the effects of doing a positive action, a mitzvah? Do you have any sense of how overwhelmingly positive the effects of doing just one mitzvah is coming from all of those actions that could have been done by 20 generations of human beings? That's what's waiting for each child of Israel when they do a mitzvah, when they do that positive action. They're receiving the effect of that positivity from 20 generations. That's the end of our class for today. Please, we have 2 more classes today. One's at 10:30 West Coast time, and one's at 3. The earlier class, we will prepare for the Lag BaOmer. I'm reminding you also that tonight and tomorrow is Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach. All you have to do to connect to the energy of the second chances in your life is to eat some matzah tonight and tomorrow, tonight or tomorrow, by eating matzah during Pesach Sheni, you connect to the energy, the potential energy of second chances, of being able to do things properly when you haven't done them properly. That's the energy of tonight and tomorrow. Our 3 o'clock class, we will count the Omer. We will study part two of Psalm 96. I hope you'll join us for one or both of these classes and participate in the holiday of Pesach Sheni, which we will actually count tonight, and we'll understand more of that through the counting of what the Sefirah is tonight. Last night we counted Malchut Shibud Netzach. You can anticipate what the next night, what happens tonight, and how it transitions. Are there any questions? Shavua Tov. Shalom Gadol to everyone. Have a beautiful day and a beautiful week. Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.